Psalm 143 is our study this evening. I'm taking the title of the message from verse 11. Look over there at verse 11 again. He says in verse 11, quicken me. Quicken me. It's an old English word, quicken. It means to make alive. Make me alive. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Quicken me for thy name's sake. And we know he's talking about making us new creatures in Christ Jesus, raising us from the grave, giving us salvation. So I'm entitling the message, Life and Salvation Because of Christ. Life and Salvation. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Life and salvation because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, where we read, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the only reason for pardon, forgiveness, isn't it? Christ's sake. Of His fullness have we all received grace because of grace. The reason of salvation is not found in us. The reason salvation is found in Him. For Christ's sake. Again, in this psalm, we see David, the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. Notice it says it's a psalm of David, a prayer of David, calling upon the Lord. And again, his spirit is overwhelmed within him, calling upon the Lord in the time of trouble. Every believer has the same privilege, the same blessing, to call upon the Lord. It wasn't reserved just for David. David was God's special man for that special day, the anointed king of Israel. But every believer had the same privilege, the same blessing to call upon the Lord. Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to call. Remember the word from Hebrews chapter 4 where he said, come boldly unto the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. There's a song in our songbook. We don't sing it much, but it's written by an old writer, Joseph Scriven, and he penned these words, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. As Peter said, take your burdens to the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. We're taught in Scripture, pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. Prayer to the believer, praying is like breathing. It is the very life breath of the believer. Prayer is. We cannot live, naturally speaking, without breathing. You wouldn't last long without breathing, would you? And the believer cannot live without praying. Cannot live without praying. We are in a constant attitude of praying unto God. That doesn't mean that we're down on our knees all the time calling upon the Lord, but it's the attitude of the heart. It's the attitude of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Prayer is not something that's cold, dead, and mechanical. It's not repeat after me. Repeat after me. Prayer is a spontaneous cry of the heart. The cry of the heart unto God. It's not something mechanical, something regimental. It's not really something that's even taught. It's just the cry of the heart. It's the heart cry of the believer unto his God. Lord, look what he says in verse 1. Hear my prayer. Hear my prayer. Remember, we've seen this several times. Look at Psalm 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Down in Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Seems like David's praying all the time. He is. Every believer is a man of prayer. A person who cries unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my heart, my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Crying unto the Lord. Hear my prayer. Now, what good would it do us to pray if the Lord did not hear our prayer? Because He's the living God, the true living God, He hears our prayers. Because He is a covenant God, He's obligated Himself to hear the cry of His people. He ever lived to intercede for us. Now notice what it says there. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication, my request. Let your request be made known unto God. And then in thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. Because God is faithful and righteous, He delights to answer our prayers. You know, our prayer is this, Lord, not my will, thy will be done. We can be assured if we pray according to His will, our prayer will be answered. Finding the will of the Lord and praying to that end. We do not ask to be heard upon our faithfulness. David didn't say, Lord, hear my prayer because I'm the king. He didn't say, hear my prayer because I've won many battles for the Lord. And he did. He had won many battles. But he doesn't appeal unto any merit of his own, does he? Look what he says. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplication. And in thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, answer me. You see the difference? We do not ask to be heard upon our faithfulness or upon our righteousness. David didn't pray that way, but rather he appealed unto the Lord's faithfulness. He appealed unto the Lord's righteousness. Now, I like to talk about the faithfulness of our God. I like to talk about the righteousness of our God. Our blessed Lord is faithful to all of His covenant promises. You remember the last words of Joshua as he dies, getting ready to meet the Lord? He said, of all that God had promised, not one word has failed. The Lord is faithful to His covenant promise. He's promised a whole lot in His Word. And He's faithful to every promise He's made. Faithful, faithful. Our Lord, secondly, is also righteous in all of His ways. Answer me in thy faithfulness. Answer me in thy righteousness. Now, this righteousness He's talking about is not our righteousness, but rather His. Turn over here to Psalm 31. Let's find a few scriptures on that. Psalm 31, look at verse 1 and 2. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. You see that? Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock, my fortress, therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Now we know He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the believer's righteousness. Find Psalm 71. Turn over there. Psalm 71. Psalm 71, if you remember, is all about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Psalm 71, verse 15. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. God, I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even Thine only. Look at verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God, who is like unto Thee? Look at verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. So, David here appeals unto the Lord to be heard because he knew his God's faithful. He knew his God righteous in all his doing and all his ways. Now look at verse 2. Enter not into judgment, with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified, cleared of all guilt. Now, what's he saying here? David here declares three things. First of all, he declares who he is. He said, I'm thy servant. I'm thy servant. You remember the story about the bond slave, the willing bond slave who serves his master not out of captivity, but out of love. And David here said, I'm your willing, loving servant. The Apostle Paul called himself repeatedly a servant of the Lord. That's a good title. I'd like to think that every believer is a servant of the Lord. So first of all, who he is, servant. Secondly, what he knows. What he knows. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. What's he saying there? I tell you what he's saying. No man will be justified before God by any deeds or doing on his part, on the part of the man. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You remember Romans chapter 3, 19 and 20. Third thing, what he asks for. You know what he asks for? The first part of the verse, enter not into judgment with thy servant. So what's he praying for? Mercy, isn't he? Mercy. I don't want what's coming to me. Don't let me stand before God on the ground of my works. I'll surely be cast out. Don't enter into judgment with me according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my sin. He's saying that, isn't he? He's praying. Lord, deal with me according to your mercy, not according to your justice. David desired to meet God at the mercy seat, not at the judgment seat. How foolish to say before Almighty God, all I want is what's coming to me. That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? We don't want to meet God at the judgment seat upon the ground of our doing, but we do want to meet God at the mercy seat, and that mercy seat is Christ. He's our propitiation, isn't he? This is our desire, then, for every believer. That's our desire, to be justified before God in Christ, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, to be accepted in the Beloved. Look at verse 3. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He, kind of personified here, he has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Now, we studied in the Revelation that Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, but we know the Lord hath dealt with him. I think here what he's saying is the enemy, and the chief enemy of our soul that ravishes our heart, that smites us to the ground and makes us to dwell in darkness, is our own wicked sin. You remember over here in Psalm 140, deliver me, verse 1, O Lord, from the evil man. Remember who I told you that was? Preserve me from the violent man. Our own wicked nature, our own sinful nature, which imagine mischief in the heart. Continually are they together, gathered together for war. There's a warfare in the heart of the believer. Sin has smitten us to the ground and has persecuted our soul. Our sin has made us to dwell in darkness by nature. I like that statement there, as those that have been long dead. How long have we been dead? In Adam all died. That's a long time. Dead. Graveyard dead. Spiritually so. God and Adam all die. Representation. In Adam all sinned. In Christ shall all be made alive. God must, because of our terrible sin condition, fallen, sinful, in the dark, dead in sin, How can we deliver ourselves? God must make us alive. God must make us alive. It's just not some decision we make. Salvation is not based upon some decision we make. God must quicken us by the power of the Holy Spirit. You remember Ephesians 2:1, "You have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." I'm working on an article for the bulletin on Sunday. I hope to have it completed and in the bulletin by Sunday. But I talked to a local pastor in the neighborhood here, and I don't really know the man very well, but he's been actually pastoring the church in this area longer than I have been here. And I went to meet with him and talk with him, and he kept talking about making decisions for Jesus, about forcing people or coercing people to make decisions for Jesus. And I tried to tell him that salvation is, it involves God raising us from the dead. It's not the greatest of all the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ could not be conditioned, whether it's successful or a failure, upon something the sinner does, some decision you make. That can't be so. It's contrary to the Word of God. And I asked the man, I said, "Show me that in the Bible." Well, you know, he couldn't show it to me in the Bible. I said, "Well, why do you do those things? Why do you do those things at the end of the service to call upon people to make a decision?" He said, "Well, that's what the apostles did." I said, "No, they didn't. No, they didn't." He said, "Well, that's just what we're going to do." And we went around and around for an hour, hour and a half. I tried to show him repeatedly, salvation of the Lord, salvation of the Lord. And he kept coming back, "This, got to make a decision." So sad. Sad. Is he afraid to preach the gospel? And is he afraid that God can't raise dead sinners? And God can't give life unless the sinner does something? See what we've come to in our day? It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. "The enemy has persecuted my soul. He's spitting my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness, as those have been long dead." Well, just decide to raise yourself from the dead. I told him this. I said, "Hey, Lazarus, you've been dead 4 days in the grave." The Lord didn't say, "Hey, Lazarus, make a decision for Jesus." He said, "Lazarus, come forth." God must quicken. God must make alive. Look at verse 4. "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me." Desolate. When considering the effects of our sin, how many times we've sinned against God, when considering who we've sinned against, considering that we cannot not sin, our spirit, our heart is overwhelmed and desolate. There's not one thing we can do to put away sin. Water baptism won't put away sin. Our decision is not going to put away sin. Our church membership is not going to put away sin. Overwhelmed, he said, and desolate. When the Lord is pleased to convict us of our sin, to show us what we are, that's not something that is a curse. That's a blessing. To be convicted of sin, for the Lord to strip us and show us what we are before Him, sinful, it's only as He convicts us of what we are, showing us that we are sinners before God, that will ever cry out to the Lord for mercy. "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Conviction of sin is a blessing. It drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ to find refuge, to find righteousness, to find salvation. Now look at verse 5. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. Look what he says. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all the good works I've done. I ponder, muse, meditate. Ponder is the word, muse, on all the work of my hands, what I've done for Jesus, what decisions I've made for Jesus. Now, I'm making fun on purpose because it's just ridiculous. I remember the days of old. I remember what happened in the fall. Remember what happened when we were born in sin, dead in trespasses and sin. He said, I think upon all the work that you have done for me, not what I've done for you. I ponder on all the work of thy hands. You see, salvation, when sin would rob us of comfort, our only recourse for refreshing is unto the Lord, His work, His doing. Salvation that we enjoy is not by our works, but rather by the works of His hand. That's what refreshed David's heart. Salvation by His free grace. Turn over here to Psalm 57. You remember Psalm 57, verse 2? I cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. God Most High that performs all things for me, accomplishes all things for me. David said, remembering my sin, my desolation, how depraved I am. I don't think about what I've contributed. I think about what the Lord has done for us. His faithfulness, His obedience, His salvation. I ponder, I meditate upon the work of thy hand. One other scripture on this. Turn to Psalm 92:4. Psalm 92, verse 4. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Salvation is what He has done for us, not what we do for Him. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not. Neither does a fool understand. Oh, but we do. We understand what the Lord has accomplished for us. Salvation by His free and sovereign grace. Now look at verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. What hands here is he talking about? The hand of faith. The hand of faith. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty, thirsty land. Back over here to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Remember we talked about as the deer, verse 1, the heart is the young deer, panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, the believer hungers and thirsts for Christ, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. I look to thee. I stretch forth my hand to thee. The hand of faith stretches out only to Christ. The thirst of faith is only quenched. How? The thirst of faith is only quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by the grace of God that we thirst after Him. By nature, you know what we do? Job 15 tells us this. By nature, we drink iniquity like the water. It's only by the grace of God that we thirst after Him. I've got another reference here. Let's find Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Psalm 63:1. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. To see thy power, thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary, I thirst after thee. The thirst of faith is only quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see Sunday from John chapter 7. I'm looking at a message from verse 37 where the Lord said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Remember, he told the woman at the well, "You drink of that natural water, you thirst again. You drink of that water that I will give you, there shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now back to the text, verse 7. "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit." David here is praying, "Lord, don't leave me to myself." Isn't he? "Don't leave me to myself. Hide not thy face from me." The glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not fail us when our spirit fails and is overwhelmed. He is faithful and will never leave us alone. He will never, no, never forsake us. One old writer said, "Mercy has wings to its heels when misery is in its extreme." Mercy has wings to its heels. Now, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy mercy from me. Hide not thy salvation from me. Don't leave me to myself. My own thoughts, my own ways are contrary to the way of grace. Lord, teach me." Now, in verse 8 down through verse 12, he makes 7 requests. And my time is pretty well gone, but we'll look at these in a brief way. "Cause me to hear. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." Cause me to hear. The Lord must give us ears to hear the good news of the gospel. The Lord must give us an appetite for the bread of life. The Lord must give us a thirst for Him and His loving kindness toward His people. Cause me. Now, who's the first cause of salvation? Christ. Who's the second cause of salvation? Christ. Who's the third cause of salvation? Christ. No wonder the apostle said, "Christ is all and in all." I've got another bulletin article in the bulletin for Sunday. Man who was burned to the stake for the gospel. Before the religious order of the day, they asked him for 3 reasons for his salvation. He said, "Reason number 1, Christ. Reason number 2, Christ. Reason number 3, and he sealed his testimony with his death. "For in thee do I trust. Those who have heard him speak look nowhere else for salvation. Cause me to hear your loving kindness." I tell you, you heard from him, you'll trust him. Yeah, I won't have to browbeat you into a decision. "Lest I be like them that go down to the pit." Cause me to hear. Secondly, cause me to know the way. I don't want to know a way. Salvation is not like a way. Salvation is the way. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. What is the way wherein I should walk? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." He is the way that we walk. We walk looking to Him. "For I lift up my soul unto thee." You see that? caused me to know the way of salvation in Christ. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Look at verse 9. Thirdly, he prays, Lord, deliver me. Now, we've seen this word here repeatedly, haven't we? Deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. Look back at Psalm 142, verse 5 and 6. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me. Deliver me, O Lord, from my persecutors, from those that are stronger than I. Our deliverance is of the Lord. Deliver me from my enemies, for I flee unto thee to hide me. That's a good place to hide. Christ is our hiding place. Christ is our refuge. The Lord Jesus Christ is both deliverer and refuge. Who is able? Who else is able to deliver us? Who else would? Who else would? Who else is able? You know, the Scripture says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, came to deliver sinners. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee to thee to hide me. He is our hiding place. He is our refuge. Now look at verse 10. Teach me. Fourthly, he said, teach me. Cause me to hear. Cause me to know. Deliver me, then teach me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Teach me to do thy will. Teach me, not only teach me and reveal the will of the Lord to me, but Lord, then give me grace to do thy will. To do thy will. All those who have heard and learned, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Teach me to do thy will. What is, we boil it all right down, what is it to do the will of the Lord? Bow to Christ. Believe the gospel. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. This is the will of the Lord. Bow. Bow. Kiss the Son, lest you be angry. You remember Psalm 2? Look at verse 10. Teach me, deliver me, cause me to know, cause me to hear. And then he says, lead me. Lead me. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd that lead us in the green pastures. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Now, what do you reckon the land of the uprightness is? It can also be rendered, lead me into the plain way. The plain way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Believers are eager and willing to be led by the good shepherd of the sheep. Christ, our great and good shepherd, never leads us astray. It's safe to follow Him. He always leads us to Himself. That's the land of uprightness. Come unto me, He said, and I'll give you rest. The sixth thing He says in verse 11, quicken me. Quicken me. Make me alive. Give me life. Give me salvation, O Lord. And do it for Christ's sake. For thy righteousness' sake. That's a good ground to beg for mercy upon, isn't it? Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. We make no appeal to our merit or work or righteousness, only to the Lord. Quicken me for Christ's sake. Reveal the gospel to me for Christ's sake. Show mercy to me for Christ's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Verse 12. Here's the seventh plea. And of thy mercy,
Again, he doesn't beg for merit. He doesn't beg for any help upon the ground of merit, does he? Mercy. Mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Aren't we mercy beggars before God? That's what we are. Mercy beggars. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. Destroy all them that afflict my soul. I am thy servant. This is the only ground to stand upon for any sinner. Mercy. Not merit. Mercy. Mercy. I need mercy, don't you? Lord, show me your glory. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.